Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not gonna be afraid no more. Fear don't live here no more. Not gonna be afraid no more. Pain just walked out the door. That spirit ain't here with me. God didn't put that in me. But the spirit of power and love and a sound mind, sound mind. Waking up every day thinking what I'm gonna pay with the money I made. Thinking what I'm gonna say when the wife asks me where the money we save. Using loot from the gas bill to pay the rent. More loot from the light bill.
Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, February the 6th, 2023. Now, tonight, we will continue our transformational journey with part three of Overcoming Fear and Anxiety in 2023. And tonight's program is entitled, When Fear and Anxiety Open the Floodgates. But before we begin, I'd like to start out with a word of prayer. First and foremost, giving honor to God, who is the Lord, my Lord, the head of my life, my Lord and my Savior, to all of the Spirit Alive servant leaders that are present, and to all of you that are listening tonight. I just want to give you honor and just go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace right now in the name of your son, Jesus, asking that I completely decrease so that you can increase, Father God, and so that you can teach your children what you would want them to know about overcoming fear and anxiety. And Father, I just pray that you would bless our listeners all around the world. You would bless them, Lord God, to live a more abundant life in you and to be edified and strengthened through this word. And Lord, I pray that if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, that tonight would be the night that they would come and make you their Lord and their Savior too. And so it is in your name that I do pray it all. Amen. And I give you, Father God, all the glory. All right, thanks to God. Now,
amen.
As I stated at the very beginning of this series, the servant leaders and here are all dedicated to sharing God's truth and love so that it can be received, applied, and shared with others. You see, we truly want to create an atmosphere where the Spirit of God is not only welcome here, but he is completely free to have his way. But before we get into part three of our study in earnest, I'm going to go back through and give everyone a quick review because it's important to me that we all have a clear understanding of just what we're fighting. Because before we can fight and become overcomers, we must know what we're fighting so that we can use practical and, most importantly, spiritual measures to overcome. So, and I just want you, and I know that I'm taking my time with this study, but I truly believe that the spirit of fear is one of the deadliest spirits that Christians can have in their lives, because it stops us from believing who God says he is. It stops us from believing who we are in Christ. And it keeps us from truly believing that we were created with a purpose. So I'm going to ask everyone to get something to write with and to write on, because I'm going to take us through the review fairly quickly. Now, at the beginning of this series, we talked about worry defined, and it is the Greek word for worry is merom neo, a combination of two words, maritzo, which means to divide, and nous, which means mind. So worry actually means a divided mind. In the Bible, the word is translated worry, anxious, anxiety, or care. Now listen, this is not to be confused with diligent care and concern toward our godly responsibilities, as declared and decreed in 2 Corinthians 11:28, in Philippians 2:20, and in Galatians 4:19. Also, planning that acknowledges the sovereignty of God, oh, that's not worry. See, worry is being over anxious concerning our future, you know, about things that are going on around us. It's a trepidation, and it keeps us from fulfilling our God-given responsibilities. Also, let us know that sin is, worry is a sin. The first scripture passage of scripture that we looked at was Matthew 6:19-34, where Jesus addresses worry, and he forbids it three times in verses 25, 31, and 34. The Apostle Paul also tells believers to be anxious for nothing in Philippians 4:6. You see, Christ's teaching in Matthew 6 exposes the two sinful roots of worry, fear, and anxiety, and the cure. Now, in the Bible, fear is often spoken of in the same sense as worship. You see, fear produces worship. What we fear dictates what we worship. What we worship determines how we worship. What we fear or worship is either the living God or it is an idol. As we have been talking about worry and anxiety, we should know that it's never far from us. We worry because we fear. We are anxious because we fear. And we fear because we do not fear God the way that we should. You see, worry is indeed idolatry. And of course, the solution to that is repentance. Amen. So idolatry means to worship someone or something other than the true living God. It means giving yourself to some person, goal, idea, concern, or object rather than Jesus. It means putting your desires above God's desires and commands for our lives. It's allowing our concerns about the future, situations, and material things to be more important than thinking and acting like God. You see, worry expresses idolatry in the heart, as declared and decreed in Matthew 6, verse 21. But you see, when we worry, I told us that we tend to have our focus on the inordinate, you know, material things. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 tells us that. And because in the essence of time, I want you to write these scriptures down and go back and read them for yourself. But Matthew 6, 19 through 21, he tells us we shouldn't be concerned about material objects. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where the moth and the rust can corrupt, and the thieves can break in and steal it. But he says, lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where can't nothing get to it, Because he tells us in verse 21, where our heart, our treasure is, our heart will be also. Then verses 22 and 23 he tells us how we should look at goals. When we fear goals or the lack of keeping goals, okay? And then verses 24, people. Yes, indeed. What we really have to get down to the nitty-gritty and understand is worry and fear and anxiety, that's all unbelief. And there's only one solution to unbelief, and that's faith. Jesus described worriers as people of little faith. The presence of worry indicates that there is someone or something you are living for other than Jesus. Okay. There are two senses in which Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Now, you can read all of these instances in Matthew 16, 20, and verses 24, in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and in Dr. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Now, friends, when we first came to God, when we first came to Christ, we are invited or we were commanded to consider the cost of following Jesus. And Jesus let us be known. It was as dying. He said, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, which means we got to die to self daily. Pick up our cross and follow him. Second, in Luke, he says to take up our cross daily, which means this is an ongoing thing. Every day, there's going to be a series of ongoing choices that need to be made. In everything and in every way, we are to choose between the world, our desires, our longings, our fears, and Jesus. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Now, the warrior should be helped to identify the specific idols and spirits of which we're going to be talking about tonight that lies within and may be ruling them so that they can be called into confession. Hallelujah. The fruit of repentance for someone who worries will be manifesting faith in God by disciplining his or her mind to focus on a few things. And I told you what I wanted you to focus on is God's care for mankind. You see, God is sovereign all by himself. He doesn't need any help from any of us. Okay? The word of God says in same scripture, Matthew 6, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat and the body than the raiment? Hallelujah. He goes on to say, behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, but our Father feeds them. So if he takes care of all the animals, how much more is he going to take care of all of us? So, you know, I'm just saying. And then we need to look at, remember that God knows everything. See, we need to remember that Jesus is always working with the finished product, okay? When he said it was finished, it is finished, he meant that. So he knows everything. He knows what we need. We don't have to ever be afraid of not having what we need, because the next point is God's promises are indeed real. They're all very real. And he is always telling us to seek, for us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, I'm going to add all things unto you. So we have to believe with all that what is within us that God's promises are real. We have to know who God is. We have to know that he's omnipotent, that he's omnipresent, that he's omniscient. Nothing gets past God. And we need to also get our focus on knowing that pleasing God, we do that by doing what he tells us to do, you see. But like I said, before we can do anything, we have to have the right kind of relationship with God. We have to go to God, like it says in Philippians 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So once we understand and we truly believe who God says he is, and then we really get it down in our sanctified spirits that we are who God says we are in him, so we will then come up and we will have a right relationship. Now watch this. A right relationship will lead to right thinking. Because in Philippians 4 and 8, this is a very familiar passage, the word of God says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be any excellence. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. If there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Faith, a clear conscience, and thankfulness, it frees our mind to be used correctly. Excuse me, hallelujah. But the mind will need to be disciplined to dwell on these things. See, we have to plan according to the biblical principles and priorities, okay? We have to be solution-oriented. You know, we have to study and meditate on passages of the Bible that will help us to rightly think, such as John 14, 1 Peter chapter 5. Psalms 27, 37, 46, 56, 73, and 94. Because see, when we're in a right relationship and then we are right thinking, then we will become right acting. Word of God says in Philippians 4:9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, he said, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So we need to focus our attention and energy on fulfilling our responsibility. We have to live the gospel. We just can't give lip service to it. We have to live what we believe. So I just want us to note again before I move on, right praying leads to right thinking. Right thinking leads to right acting. So now, let us move on to fear. You know, this is one of them, like I said, I think this is one of the most dangerous spirits there is because it's so common amongst Christians. It seems to be an acceptable behavior, thanks to God, or at least at the top of the list. But you see, in Scripture, Jesus is never said to be afraid because the fear of God is the only thing that removes all other fear. Like I said, God put in his holy word over 365 times in the Bible not to fear. Fret not, fear not, worry not. You see, fear is the feeling of anxiety and agitation caused by the presence or the nearness of perceived, hear me now, perceived danger, evil. And like we've heard many use the acronym for fear as false evidence appearing real. And I added to that when we walk in fear instead of faith, we also forfeit every available resource that can only be given by God. Now, the fear of the Lord is right. And you can find that in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, and 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, and Proverbs 1 and 7. All right? Because, see, I'm just going to run through Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we ought to fear God. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there's a fear, a good healthy fear of the Lord that you can find in Scripture. But also, there's an unhealthy fear. And that's that fear, you know, right fear is the kind of fear that moves us towards God and a more holy behavior. The wrong kind of fear is fearing man and not God. You can find that in John 12, 42 through 43, and Luke 12, verses 4 through 5. Hallelujah. Wrong kind of fear. When you fear things that are temporal, rather than things that are eternal. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. See, we got to be praising the things that are eternal. Having a fear of things we can't change. Proverbs 3:25 says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. So you see, those are just a few examples that I gave you. But the bottom line to fear is wrong and sinful when it is allowed to motivate your thinking and behavior in a way that is ungodly. But again, I want us to begin to look at becoming overcomers. Because in reality, there's a lot of things for us to righteously be fearful of. You know, look at our economy. Look at what's going on in the world. But unfortunately, but oh, hallelujah, since we are in Christ Jesus, we still don't have to walk around living our lives in fear. Now, despite the fact that we generally think God is against our fear, our worry, and our anxiety, it's still going to be something that we will never master. Because God created us as an emotional people. And our emotions are given by God to put us into motion. Did y'all pick that up? Our emotions are given to us by God to put us into motion. For instance, anger is driven by a sense of injustice and a desire to oppose something that we feel isn't fair or right. In the same way, fear is a God-given emotion. When our mind alerts us to danger, real or perceived, anxiety is what we feel when our body is responding to the emotion of fear. Worry is the thought process. It's that loop that we keep playing over and over in our head that gives power to the object of our fear. And you can best believe that these triplets, fear, worry, and anxiety, they all show up together and they feed into each other. Even at times when we don't know why we feel anxious, our brains have previously learned to fear in a similar situation that we simply can't recall at the moment. You see, our anxiety is tied to our life experiences and our thought patterns. It's not some kind of biological defect. And to be fair, we don't all experience fear, worry, and anxiety in the same way. Different bodies feel differently despite similar thought processes and experiences. But God did not tell us to fight a battle that is impossible to win. God has never, ever set his children up for failure. So with his help, each one of us can progressively improve in the way we fight fear, worry, and anxiety. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus addressed the fear, worry, and anxiety that those around him were experiencing. However, he didn't just do this to bring physical comfort to those experiencing the ill effects of anxiety. What he was doing is he challenged those he encountered to understand the spiritual significance of their anxiety. Fear, worry, and anxiety affect our physical health. But it also reflects, here we go again, our spiritual health. Mm-hmm. Yes, it affects our physical health, but it reflects our spiritual health. Our brain's responses are most influenced by our heart and what we value. Our thinking and our actions reflect the spiritual condition of our heart. Jesus taught us to examine our fear, worry, and anxiety as clues into who we worship or what we worship in any given moment. In conversations with Jesus, his question often exposed the values and thinking that were causing the fear, anxiety, and worry. His goal was never to shame those who honestly saw him, but rather his questions were an invitation to trust him as the creator and the provider of all they truly needed. When Jesus was teaching, his disciples about fear. He taught four key principles. And these principles reveal how a wrong response to fear can hinder our spiritual walk, and why we must take our fears, our worry, and our anxiety seriously if we are truly to follow Christ. Even though Jesus was full of compassion, his primary goal was not to simply eliminate the physical discomfort that fear, worry, and anxiety can bring into our lives. He taught us that our emotions reflect what is going on in our hearts, our values, and our thinking. If we are going to take our faith seriously, we need to listen to the clues that anxiety brings our way, that fear brings our way, that worry brings our way. And Jesus talked about fear, worry, and anxiety often because he didn't want us to lose sight of the things that are important to life. In each principle, Jesus taught about anxiety. He also gives us an action step. So the first thing he taught was our anxiety or our fear, it reveals what we value. Now, Matthew 6:25 is perhaps the most quoted verse about anxiety in the Bible because it challenges us to trust God rather than falling into the trap of fear, worry, and anxiety. What we often miss when quoting verse 25 is that the teaching on anxiety is an application of verses 19 through 24. In verses 19 through 24, Jesus reminds us all that life on earth is short and we can't take anything with us. He taught us that what we value will become what we prioritize. If we value the world's priorities more than we value God's priorities, we will naturally be anxious about the things of this world, like food, clothing, and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know what that's about. Because you know, too many of us, we get too anxious. Oh, do not threaten our money. All our health, our reputation, our relationships, those things are valuable to us. So we can become anxious when what we love becomes threatened. You see, anxiety provides us with a window into what our hearts find really valuable. But now, when our hearts find God's value, we will view the dangers around us quite differently. Death, discomfort, and dire circumstances don't have the same thing they did when we didn't have Christ. Because now we're looking at things through eternal perspective. I'm going to get it out here. Instead of a temporal one. We know that we're not trying to, we can't take anything with us. We can't take, like I tell people all the time, look people, never in the history of funerals have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Can't take it with us. We shouldn't be trying to store up things down here. We should be storing up our treasures up in heaven. But see, God calls us to overcome that fear first and foremost by always keeping our minds on the eternal. Keep our focus on the eternal. The second thing that Jesus always taught, not only does what we fear not only does it reveal what we value, it reflects our view of God. Now, there's an author, Brother Tim Keller. He writes, worrying is not believing God will get it right, and bitterness is believing that God got it wrong. You see, how we respond to life's troubles will reflect how we view God and whether we trust him or not. Or how we, whether or not we trust how he acted toward us. Jesus makes the case that our worry really stems from a heart of unbelief, that God is acting in any way other than good toward us. To those who doubt the provision and the power of God to do what's best, Jesus gave a gentle rebuke. Oh, ye of little faith. How often we become distracted when we fear the future and take matters into our own hands. We seek to control our destiny and focus our attention on what we want. We don't trust God to provide or to keep us safe. We start to think 10 steps down the road and bring tomorrow's problems into today. Jesus reminded us that worry accomplishes very little and distracts us from being present in the present. You know, I'm sure Apostle Zeta or any servant leader that counsels, we see this all the time. We see it when dealing with death, divorce, dysfunction, and in distant relationships. We just see people come in and they show with us every negative outcome that they could possibly think of first. You know, but the way we focus on the possible outcome, it stems from a heart that ultimately desires to be in control instead of God. Okay? Anytime you look at a situation and you start it out with, I've been this and I've been that, and, well, you know, you spend 10 minutes talking about what the devil has done and how you hurt and how you're concerned and how you're this, and then you might give God three words, but God's able. Okay, first of all, that's pretty arrogant if we feel that way, and secondly, it's very prideful. Because, see, I don't know about you. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not wise enough to know how my life should go. I have to put my life in the hands of the Lord because I sure don't know what I'm doing all the time. So we all need to start thinking about taking these action steps, and, you know, we can begin to overcome that fear and that anxiety. First and foremost, don't be worried about your faithfulness. Keep your focus on His, because the wonderful thing about our Father God is that He is faithful, even when we are not. Hallelujah. See, that's what His mercy, that mercy thing is all about. You see, mercy is not receiving that which we deserve. But see, even in our shortcomings, God is still faithful. He keeps His promises because He is not a man that He should lie, nor is He the son of man that He should repent. The other thing Jesus taught was our fear is related to our trust level in God. You know, after Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, the disciples and Jesus embarked on a ministry trip so that Jesus could teach His disciples and to model for them the way of life that He was describing in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Matthew records these stories one after another to make the case that Jesus alone has the power to intervene. Jesus is unlike the other religious leaders of His day. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, Matthew adds that the crowd were astonished at His teaching, for He was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. You see, Jesus has real power to intervene in our troubles. And Matthew wanted to make sure that you and I understood the reason why Jesus could stand up and say, don't be anxious. It wasn't just a slogan to make us feel better or to distract us in times of trouble. No, Jesus was different. People's lives were being changed because they had encountered Jesus. Anybody that hung out with Jesus was never the same. But when you have time and in your studies, I want you to read Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9. Because in it you will see story after story after story about how Jesus stepped in. How Jesus stepped in and he had the power. For instance, in Matthew 8, 1 and 3, we looked at a situation with terminal illness, an ostracized leper. Huh, we know what Jesus did for him. Jesus dealt with the death of loved ones. That's, you know, in Matthew 8, 5 through 13, with the centurion ruler. Jesus dealt with physical discomfort and sickness when he told us about Peter's mother-in-law in Matthew 8, 14 through 15. He talked about spiritual oppression and many afflicted with illness in Matthew 8, 16 and 17. He talked about financial security, described lacking commitment in Matthew 8, 18 through 22. He talks about physical safety, you know, those in the boat with Jesus in Matthew 8 and 23. Then he deals with spiritual warfare. You know, when he tells us about the two men with the demons in Matthew 8 and 28. Talks about the loss of reputation. Those with Jesus and the sinners. In Matthew 9, 9 through 13. Talks about the suffering of a child or the ruler with the dying daughter. Or a permanent disability, like the two blind men. Now, I hope you're beginning to get the point that all of these stories are given back to back to back to back to show you, to show me, to show us all just how much Jesus cares about our specific circumstances. See, the Lord cares about the things that keep us up at night. In every situation, Jesus wanted his disciples to understand the key truth about life. They lack the power to control the outcome. But oh, hallelujah, God is powerful. You see, in our fear, we tend to focus on the problem and we find ourselves under the illusion that we must find a way to control what ails us. On a missionary trip, Jesus made it crystal clear to his disciples. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. However, if they were sent with God's power and were empowered by his spirit, they didn't have to fear. And his power was available to them just like it's available to us. So, you see, we can begin to overcome this fear when we begin to keep our focus on trusting God with our trials. You know, come up out of ourselves and stop trying to figure it out. And you know something else? Our fear is redirected best when we compassionately serve other people. You know, in our anxiety and our fear, we are incessantly inward focused. At times, we do worry about others, but even these worries are typically how the actions of another might affect us or our ability to relate in a healthy way with them. In our worry, we may fear losing a parent or the fear of the self-destructive young teenager. Jesus taught us that this worry accomplishes, it doesn't accomplish anything. However, one of the consistent themes throughout the gospel is the call to care for those in need and to share the good news. So when we go out and we serve others with a compassionate heart, we sow those seeds of love. When we share the gospel, then our fears dissipate. So we need to keep our focus on the right thing, you know, and because, like I said before, anxiety takes our eyes off of pursuing what God values, and it takes our eyes off of pursuing our purpose. And it takes our eyes off of pursuing the one who has the power to act and can stop us from pursuing the ultimate purpose we have been given by God. See, the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. All we need to do is be bold and courageous like he told us to. We can't give up. You know. And I want you to know that tonight we are now getting into the crux of our message. Tonight, I'm going to take you, are you aware that many sicknesses and diseases all have a spiritual root where the demonic spirit of fear enters and tries to kill us? Just like with God, man is a triune being with a spirit, a soul, and a body. And at salvation, with a new spirit and indwelling Holy Spirit, we have the provision to walk in divine health. The Word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Now, we see that Jesus healed many people in the Bible. But because there is limited teaching in the body of Christ on the details of spiritual warfare and demon activity, many people are suffering and they're perishing due to lack of knowledge, as declared in Hosea 4:6. So what happens when the spirit of fear and anxiety opens up the floodgates? How can we possibly overcome fear and anxiety? Well, we have the answer in Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Ha! That's how we're going to do it. You see, when we walk in fear, we open ourselves up to, first and foremost, will be the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of unfaithfulness. And then comes that nasty, nasty spirit called pride and the workings of the flesh. And many of us know what the workings of the flesh are. They're listed there in Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, we are seeing more and more today where Christians are dealing with the fear, the spirit of divination. The devil is alive. And the spirit of divination, you see that is the manifestation through fortune telling and soothsaying and Wiccans and horoscopes and all that good stuff, which is really, really bad. You see, when we walk in fear, that means we don't really trust who we are in God, and we don't trust who God says. So It's not enough for some of us to read our Bible. We now have to read our Bibles and our horoscope. Or we're going to read our Bibles and we're going to go get our tarot cards read. Just like that. Because you're afraid that you're not going to meet that spouse, or you're afraid that you're not going to get that promotion. So now you're ready, instead of just trusting God, okay, you're ready to go talk to the, you're ready to go consult your horoscope. You're ready to go consult your zodiac. But I say to you tonight, don't you do it. Because there's a whole lot of scriptures pertaining to this. You can first find in, you can find it in Acts 16:16-18, Micah chapter 5 verse 12, Isaiah chapter 2 verse 6, Exodus chapter 22 verse 18, Isaiah chapter 47 verse 13, Leviticus 19:26, Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 2, 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 23, Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 11, Isaiah chapter 19 verse 3, Galatians verse 20, I just read it, Revelation chapter 9 and verse 21, chapter 18 verse 23, chapter 21 verse 8, and chapter 22 verse 15. Then you can go to Hosea 4 and 12. All of these scriptures will tell you what God has to say about all this water witching and divination and magic, and that's all works of the flesh. So people don't think about the spirit of divination coming in like a flood after the spirit of fear. I tell you, another spirit comes on in like a flood. The familiar spirit, you know, the one that's going to go speak to the clairvoyants and the spiritualists and those that want to do mind-altering drugs to get, you know, so they can foresee better. Familiar spirits. Also, familiar spirits can be family spirit. They can be in your family pathology. There are spirits that are passed down from generation to generation. So when we walk in fear and we don't truly trust God, we don't truly trust who we are in God, we will fall into that spirit of false prophecy. Uh-huh. See, we're going to rewrite the story ourselves, okay? We're gonna predict something, and then we're going to go out and make it happen. I don't think so. You see, according to the Word of God says that we, by their fruits, we will know all men. Okay, well, if somebody is saying they love Jesus, but they're doing the exact opposite, or they're prophesying things, and then they're saying that God told them that this was going to happen, and then they're out, you know, trying to make it happen, that's false prophecy. Also, when you are a people pleaser, and you walk in that fear of not being accepted, if you walk in that fear of not being good enough, then you fall prey to the spirit of jealousy. You know, and jealousy is jealousy can beget hatred. It can beget envy. It can be content, the spirit of contention. Even the spirit of murder. People have actually killed other folks for what they had. And the scriptures that you need to read concerning the spirit of jealousy can be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verses 4-6, chapter 37,
verses 3, 4, and 8. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 34. I'm just going to give you some to get you started. And now I'm going to give you Numbers 5, 14, and 30. Now, I noticed, you know, and saints, I'm going to keep saying this over and over and go, every last one of these spirits, let me just let you know right now, the way that you bind, we have to bind these spirits, and then we have to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. We have to have a love of God. We've got to walk according to the fruit of the Spirit. Also, you find a lot of people that are afraid of not being accepted, or they, you know, they want to be more than what they are. They have a lying spirit. You know, they never quite tell you the truth, just the out-and-out truth. They always have to make it bigger than it is and better than it is. Or they try to flatter you, so you will just look the other way while they do whatever sin it is that they're doing. You'll find a lot of people that walk in fear. They're very superstitious. They tend to gossip. They accuse quickly. You know, they just saying that because they don't like me. Oh, I know they're over there talking about me. Oh, I know they're this. I know they're that. I'm going to give you some scriptures to get you started on that one. I'm going to give you 2 Chronicles 18 and 22, Psalm 31, 18, Psalm 78, verse 36. I want to give you some in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 4 and 7, 1 Timothy 6 and 20, 1 John 3 through 5. Where they talk about a lying spirit. You have to bind that lying spirit with the truth. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Word of God. Then you have some, because they walking in fear. They don't want, you know, have you ever noticed real insecure, you know, I've often said, sometimes the more insecure a person is, the haughtier they become. What am I saying? They don't want you to see the real them, so they come across as very haughty. They know it all. They, you know, or what they do is they like to stand back and they'll listen, or they'll go around and they'll listen to what all the other saints have to say. And then they're going to be the showstopper, okay? Because it's all about them and their pride. It's all about their, you know, their self-righteousness. Some scripture I want you to look at is, look, I want you to read 1 Samuel 15 through 23. All of these spirits come in like a flood, all because of fear, worry, and anxiety. Another scripture on haughtiness. Matter of fact, do me a favor. Just go read the whole book of Proverbs. You can start at 1, verse 22, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 24, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, chapter 10, verse 4, chapter 13, verse 10, and the list goes. Look, do yourself a favor. Just go on and read the whole book of Proverbs. Because, and all of these workings, you have to understand, if they're not of God, then they're works of the flesh. And we can't be carnal Christians. People that fear and worry a lot, they tend to have the spirit of heaviness. You know, they just mourn stuff forever. I mean, just excessive with it. A lot of times they have trouble sleeping. They often feel sorry for themselves. You know, oh, I wish, you know, they're always doing for them, but never for me. God is always blessing them, but not me. You know, I'm so depressed. I'm so tired. I'm so heavy, 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 heavy. Well, all of that being all that mourning and grieving and not sleeping and having a broken, yeah, that would make anybody pretty heavy. But I want you to go and read Isaiah 61:3, Luke 4:18. Nehemiah 2:2. Hallelujah. Once again, if you read the book of Proverbs, you will get all of these I'm talking about. A lot of people that deal with the spirit of fear also deal with the spirit of infirmity. You know, they're sick. You know, when you have all this fear and this tension in your body, sometimes you see people with bent spines, you got arthritis, you have allergies, you have weaknesses, you have lingering disorders, people that fear, they do all kinds of damage to their physical body. And of course, whenever you're in the spirit of fear, you're in the spirit of bondage. Mm-hmm. And when you're in that spirit of bondage, that means you also open up the floodgates to all kinds of addictions, or you have a death of fear, or you're a servant of corruption, or you just compulsively sin. You know, you just go out there and you just do stuff and you don't even know why you did it. Okay? Some folks that operate in fear also will operate in a spirit of, you know, they just get deaf and dumb. You know, they just close a blind eye to everything around them, and they just get deaf and dumb. They see things the way they want to see it. You know, if somebody and I'm gonna tell you, people that walk in these spirits, I want you to know, saints of God, they are very, 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 very good at wrong thinking, okay, wrong acting, even, and doing you wrong, but they're very, very good at trying to make others believe that they are the victim. So you see, When you begin to open your body, when you do not deal with that spirit of fear, anxiety, you open yourself up to all kinds of foul spirits. The foulest one of all is pride, because your unbelief and your rebellion, and then you just open it up to all these other spirits that can just rush in like a flood, and they will come, because the enemy is here to came to kill, steal, and destroy. And after a while, if you keep on not trusting God and not believing in God, after a while, you'll be right back to having the spirit of Antichrist. You know, you'll be, oh, I tried that God Jesus stuff. It didn't work. You know, oh, no. I'm just anti-Christian now. You know, I don't believe in Jesus. I'm going to be a Buddhist. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. Whatever. Like I said Sunday, we got to respect what people believe, but don't get it twisted. They're not going to change what I believe. And then when some people, they get so fearful, so anxious, that they actually have the spirit, they open the doors to the spirit of death, and they literally are always thinking about committing suicide. I'm serious. These are some nasty, destructive, deadly demons that we should not want in our lives in any kind of way. Do you know that a cursory review of the WebMD and other websites, they reveal a lot of affliction that are linked to fear, worry, and anxiety. Some of them include Crohn's disease, irritable bowel syndrome, all kind of anxiety disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, migraine, headaches. See, you know, well, I'm thinking, my goodness, I can see why all that trauma drama with all them demons running around in them. I guess I would be like, look, I would have to look. I see. But what we got to remember is that most people view stress as an internal condition. I'm feeling stressed. When from a spiritual standpoint, stress comes from the outside. Because really what's going on in the inside of us is fear. Fear in some form is our reaction to whatever that external thing is. In other words, life is stressful because outside events and deadlines impact our daily lives and schedule. Stress does happen, but it does not have to result in fear. It does not have to result in evil rushing in like a flood. You know, sometimes we just got to remember that we, before we can begin to fight spiritually, and I mean really be victorious, we just got to start first and foremost with some basic things. One, trusting who God is. You have to believe he is who he says he is. We have to believe he can and will do everything he can and says he will do. You have to believe that you are a child of God. And if you believe in Christ Jesus, you are never alone. You have the power of God living on the inside of you. Jesus is walking right with you. So you do not have any reason to fear. That's because he didn't give us that spirit. And three, we need to know and understand. We got to get real with ourselves. You know, we have to ask ourselves the hard questions like, well, I say it's all about Jesus, but do I really want just a little bit of credit? Do I really just want to outshine that person just a little bit more? You know, we have to deal with the pride. We have to deal with those spirits of familiar spirits, those spirits that are passed down. We have to deal with those spirits of death. We have to overcome all of those through our faith in Christ Jesus. Only faith and repentance will begin to help us to overcome. So I'm going to stop my lesson here for tonight. I just wanted to touch on that, and I will be going back over these spirits. They will be reincorporated. They are, again, reintroduced in the book. But I truly believe that before we could get into the book, I wanted you to just get some basics. There are some fundamentals you need to know. You cannot always go into every book, you know, with a getting and expect to get a good understanding if you don't understand the foundation. There's a lot of good Christian writers out there, but see, what they're writing about is the Bible. So if you haven't read the Bible, you don't understand the Bible, you're not praying for the Lord to show you what his word is and what it means to you and what you mean to it, then it's easy to get caught up. So thanks to God, I pray that you got something out of part three. I'm going to keep on praying and giving what God gives me. I want to teach it slowly because if we allow fear and anxiety and worry to overtake our lives, it renders us ineffective to our families. It renders us ineffective to our communities. It renders us ineffective to the world concerning the things of God. Now, at this time, I'm going to open up the room because I do have Spirit of Life servant leaders in here tonight. And if anybody else would like to make a comment or ask a question, you are more than welcome to. Now, Apostle Zeta, hallelujah. I know you were watching 20 weeks on spiritual warfare.
Yes, we did.
No, I know you have something to say.
Yes, I am all about that because you know, our walk with the Lord, there's always Satan, and we
yep.
must not forget, you know,
yes.
And we know what he came to do, but we
yes.
also know what we can do. We know that we have been given the authority by Christ
right.
Jesus. Hallelujah. We are overcomers. We are more
yes.
than conquerors. And
yes.
we have our full armor. We have all of the divine weapons that,
yes.
You know, it tells us about that in Ephesians 6. And if we apply those on
daily.
Then we're secure. We're secure.
Yes.
You know.
That's right.
And,
say that.
And we and anybody that is walking in fear, we need to learn to reject that fear.
Yes.
And also rebuke it in the name of Jesus, because if you've been studying the word and into the word and everything, then you already know who God is and how good he is and how strong he
That's
is.
That's right.
And you can be in agreement with him by faith. Praise God.
That's right.
And things will work out for you. So, you know, we want to come to God with confidence.
That's right.
Making our requests known to him. And
right.
knowing that the promise is in his words and not in his word, and not only in his word, but also in his actions in the past.
That's right.
What have you
Amen.
Seen him do
Say
already
that.
In the past?
Yes.
Praise God. He will do it for you again. And,
yes, and again.
You know, we don't have to walk in fear. And
that's right.
And I appreciate what you said about, you know, people opening themselves up to false gods, you know, going to and you know, in his word he says not to put any other gods before him.
Before him.
I am
Amen.
A jealous God. Praise God. And so, you know, but people walking in fear will turn
we'll
to
that.
Those things because they sometimes are impatient, don't want to wait on God, and they want to make something, like you were saying earlier, happen like now,
yes,
instantly, because
yes,
they
ma'am.
Want it right now. But faith is now.
That's right.
You can just believe God, hallelujah, and continue to believe him no matter what you see or what you don't see. You know, we have to put our trust in God. And then because like Apostle Sherman said, that if we open up ourselves to divination and all this stuff that goes with that, voodooism,
yes.
fortune telling, horoscopes, and
all
tarot
right.
cards, and all this kind of stuff. You're just opening yourself up to, I hate to even say it, but a death wish.
That's what it is.
Because
I don't have one of those.
Because none of those can do anything for you except harm you. Amen? Because that's how Satan works. It's all demonic. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. And it's
yes,
all the working of the flesh. If we are children of the light, we got to walk in light. If we are, you know, the Word of God says we have to walk after the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we have to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because that will overcome
yes.
fear as well. When we love people, when we're not afraid to go the distance, when we're not afraid to, when we find joy, even in the midst of
yes.
our trial. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's how you start
Amen.
Overcoming fear. You know,
thank you, Lord.
You have to have a made up mind.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You often heard me say, we cannot, in our prayer meeting, we can't get caught up in what our eyes see and our ears hear. The Lord
Amen.
Told us. He didn't give us no, he wasn't going to give us a life without problems, without troubles. But he told us to fear
Amen.
Not, because he has overcome
Amen.
The world. He said, in
Thank
this world,
Jesus.
You will have trouble.
Amen.
So to think because
Thank
we're Christians
Jesus.
And we're not going to have any stress, we're not going to have any problems, there's not some things that don't make us afraid, It's Black History Month. We as a people have a whole lot of reasons to be afraid and to be very afraid. Why? Because history has borne out that fear. They didn't talk about, well, we heard that people were lynched. No, people were lynched. You know, we heard that people were getting beat down and hosed.
Yes.
That happened. We watched it. You can see it on TV. You know, we were watching it. Some of
Amen.
Us were watching it happen in real time on TV.
Amen.
We have been conditioned, but we have to know that who we are is not what this society says we are. It's who God says we are. You've often heard, we need to get our equality. No. See, you asking equality from another man. They can't give you equality because it's not theirs to give. God's already done that. So don't worry about being, you don't have to be scared or afraid of being accepted. For what? God's already, when you are accepted by God, you have been accepted by the greatest and the greatest and the best that ever was, ever will be, and that is and ever will be. You can't get no higher than God. Hallelujah. We don't have no reason to be walking around here in fear and giving ourselves PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, because I tell everybody, if you're African-American living in America and in the United States, you got some post-traumatic stress disorder, okay? You do. I'm just saying. Hallelujah.
Right.
But you know, I'm not going to get off on that, because tonight we're talking about fear and anxiety. So I'm going to go up to the Carver Christian camp, hallelujah. And we're going to hear from Pastor Vanessa and the Bishop. Amen.
You were just saying we are, you know, in the world, people chase after equality. We're not equal with these. God said that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. We're not equal with them.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. We ain't trying to be.
But before we, before we get there, I think part of your teaching tonight, and which was so good, and it'll always stick with me, I'd always been taught fear, the acronym false evidence appearing real, but what you did when you started the series, you were talking about how we forfeit every available resource as well when we submit to fear, and that just stuck with me. That's where the provision, where the answer is, and really the answer is where it tells us, it says, perfect love casts out fear.
So if you cast it out
by perfecting your love walk toward God first, toward yourself second, others thirdly. And when you do that, when you perfect your love walk, you are casting out fear. You literally are resisting the devil actively. And then you're able to walk in that place. Now, another thing that we can do, another tool that we can call upon is building up our inner man on a most holy faith by speaking in tongues. You can speak in tongues to yourself. You can speak in tongues out loud. You can speak in tongues however you see fit, right? But when you build up your inner man on your most holy faith, one, it glorifies and magnifies God. It's one of the best ways to tell God you love him. You want to perfect your love walk, speak in tongues more and more and more. And when you hear about everything that the Apostle Paul went through, when he was going through that, he said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. He didn't have any question about whether he spoke in tongues more than his contemporaries. He just did, because he did more for God than his contemporaries did. And so for us, the answer is perfect your love walk, that casts out the fear, and then speak in tongues as often as possible so that you don't forfeit every available resource and you don't fall victim to false evidence appearing real, as Apostle Cook said, where you are basically giving up your present, worrying about tomorrow. That is crazy. And you certainly can't worry about the past, because you can't change that either.
Even God doesn't go back and change the past. Amen, Bishop. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Vanessa.
This was a really good teaching, Apostle Cook. There's just so many nuggets here. And if you have the time, a lot of times when I'm trying to absorb everything and think about it, I don't write. I listen. So I didn't write anything down. But I would appreciate if you could send me those scriptures, because if I'm writing a lot of times, I don't have my whole ear. But one of the things that stuck out to me when it comes to fear, there were so many good things, was you talked about what it was and what it isn't. You did that throughout the whole teaching. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times you need to be honest about not allowing culture or the past or tell us what fear is. We have to go by what the word
is.
That will allow us to accurately assess where we are when it has to do with pride, trying to control things from the past, all this kind of stuff. And it's like, that really scares me, because it's easy to go around and be in agreement with things that you're not calling fear, when what it is fear, or you don't trust God, or all these other things. Call it what it is, so you can be delivered. So that's what
that's
I have to
true.
Say. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. We do. We have to get real with ourselves. But you know, I think a lot of times, a lot of Christians, they walk in fear because they're seeking God, but they're not seeking his righteousness. They're seeking his hands, but they're not seeking his heart.
Yeah.
We're not seeking his heart. You know, when we move past and just, oh, God, and get to the just going up there. You know, I like to just go up. I just like to just go up and spend time with the Father. I don't ask for nothing. I don't go up there to do a bunch of talking. I just go up there and just sit and see what he says to me. That's that building up the inner man that you just heard Bishop Lester Carver talk about. You know, people deal with their fears through the drugs, through alcohol. They have like I said, they have the spirit of death upon them, because, you know, they don't see a way out. They have no hope, and hopelessness causes fear, and fear causes anxiety, and anxiety causes worry. It's a vicious cycle. But that's how come we ought to know, just from what our ears hear and I see, that the enemy is definitely down here seeking, you know, trying. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to steal our faith. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our confidence in Christ. Not in ourselves, because we can't change anything. We can't do anything. And then when I was earlier, when I was talking about that spirit of haughtiness, that's something that really, when I hear that, that hits my ear, and it just really bothers me, because I call it like giving God a backhanded compliment. You know, I prayed, and within the very hour. You know, because what they're doing is they're looking down their noses and going, look at it, look at me. I'm so close to God. I'm so important to God. Let me tell you something. You can pray till Jesus come back. You can speak the word until Jesus come back. But if the Holy Spirit is not moving in you, if there is no love in it, there is no Holy Spirit in it, you're just as a clanging cymbal. You're not doing anything. We don't have the power to change anybody.
Amen.
You know? And what we need to start doing is a lot of us need to start taking responsibility. You know, and call a thing a thing. You know, if some of us are, you know, I believe the word for everybody else but me. Yeah. You got to start checking out that loop that's in your head.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
Because I came to tell you, I'm a living witness that when you just let it all go, and say, God, I'm done. I'm done trying to run it. I'm done trying to overthink it. I'm done trying to, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. I don't care what the people think. I don't care what the people say. I don't care. All I know, all I want, Jesus, all I'm concerned about is what you know about me.
Yeah.
And if Amen. You tell me I'm more than a conqueror, then I'm going to believe you. If you
Amen.
Tell me no weapons formed against me shall prosper, I'm going to believe you. Why? You never let me down. See,
Amen.
I think another thing that a lot of us do is we try to give God our attributes. See, we're not faithful all the time. We're not all the way truthful about where we're at in a situation or with an issue. You know, but God is always God, and he is always, he is truth. He don't tell the truth, he is the truth.
Amen. Glory.
You know, people, ow, ow, ow. You know, they want to jump up and have. All right, saints of God, I just had to do a complete reboot. The whole system went down, but God is good. I came right on back in. Thank you. I hope you all talked and eclipsed amongst yourselves about fear. The devil ain't going to stop me. He's mad. I know he's mad.
Amen.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Amen.
I don't know what hit, but I'm going to pray for that situation. But I thank the Lord because we can't have fear. We can't let unexpected things just throw us into a tizzy. Just like a few seconds ago, the whole system went down. I can say, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I'm like, they're not going nowhere. I'm just going to get the other phone and call right back in. That's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
I don't have no reason to panic. I don't have no reason to fear. Yes. See, thanks to God, everybody up in here is a servant leader. Everybody up in here can tell you a whole lot about this topic. They're all teachers. So I wasn't worried about it. But anyway, I just want to thank God for the teaching and all the input, and I want to thank Mother Mitchell for being the watchman on the wall, and I just want to thank everybody
Amen.
For coming out tonight. But before we get out of here, there might be somebody out there right now listening to the sound of our voices that are living day to day in fear. You don't know what you're going to do, where you're going to turn. Well, we come with the good news tonight, and his name is Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Your the salvation of the world. Hallelujah. He will come into your life and rescue you. He wants to come into your life and rescue you. And my friend, all you have to do to give your life to Christ is go to him with a sincere heart and just pray to him and tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I come repenting of my sin. For I believe that you are the Son of the living God. I believe that you came and you died and you rose and ascended just for me. The Lord, come into my life and just use me, teach me. I don't want to live in fear anymore. I don't want to go through my life without hope. But they told me that you are the truth, the life, and the only way. So, Lord, yes. I just give myself to you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And if you prayed that prayer in any shape or in any form,
great.
Amen.
Because the word of God says, if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, he or she shall be saved.
Yes.
And I want to welcome you to the family of God. We pray that you find yourself, continue to walk with us here on Spirit Alive, that you find you a local church home where, you know, that is Christ-centered, where the people are loving, and where you can be nurtured and discipled so that you will have an abundant life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I just pray for all of you out there listening. I'm going to ask Pastor Vanessa to come back in, and I want you to bind this teaching on the night, dear sister.
Yes, ma'am. Father God, we just thank you for being in the midst tonight. We thank you for speaking so clearly, showing us your love through your word, filling the Apostle Cook, Father God, with so much truth that we could not deny and recognize that it is your presence through her, healing this word. Thank you for the practical application and the nuggets and the residue of what was spoken and then the spirit in which it was spoken. Thank you, Lord, today for our to get it together. Basically, to just line ourselves up with your word. I thank you, Lord, today. Those who are listening, I thank you, Lord, for those who are interceding who weren't able to be here tonight. I pray, Lord, that your word does not return void. Everything that was spoken tonight, Father God, is going to make a change.
Yes,
I pray,
Father,
and
I pray.
For the courage to face and do the word, to speak it and not change it, to be comfortable with it. We get used to being uncomfortable, deciding to repent.
Lord.
Away from a way of thinking so that we don't have to be subject in word and deed of fear and anxiety. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Vanessa. Once again, I just want to thank Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and we did have my beloved mother, Mother Mitchell, was in the room as our watchman on the wall. So we just want to, I just want to thank everyone for listening. Hallelujah. We just praise God, and I really pray that you got something out of this, and we will continue on. We're going to go even deeper into this, and then we will begin our book, Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare, which is a book that was given to me by Apostle Zeta Flowers, and I read it, and I was and I just began to formulate a study before the study as I was reading. So I just want to thank you, Apostle Zeta, for sharing the book with me.
Oh,
and I want
to
thank all of you, our listeners, and we pray that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network tomorrow. Please join Bishop Lester Carver at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Tuesday night teachings. And then we're asking especially all of our sisters to come out on Wednesday night for Daughters of Naomi, where we will be honoring African-American women past and present. They will be honored, and there will be some surprises. So we're just going to ask that y'all come out as we celebrate our history, God's history, American history, Black history. It's all history, and it's all ours, all of it. So we praise God for that. And then on Thursday, hallelujah, we're going to have Wounded No More. That's my program. Hallelujah with Pastor Vanessa Carver. Thank you, Jesus. And she is speaking on forgiveness. So that's, you know, so we have to just remember, that's another thing that keeps people in fear. You know, they don't receive forgiveness for themselves. And so then they can't forgive other people. Then, you know, it just spirals out of control. You know, they're talking about me. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're saying this. They're saying that. You know, so the enemy can just have us going down a rabbit hole real fast if we're not careful. But I just pray that you heard something tonight from one of us that will bless you. So on behalf of myself and all of the Spirit of Life family that is present, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night and God bless you from all of us here at Taking It to the Street and the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, my beautiful family. I love you. Love you, Mama. Good night.
Love you. Amen.